This is the Mickey Miles and More podcast, your one stop for information on Disney races, Disney vacations, Disney theme parks, and more. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles and More podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean, Chris Eliopoulos, and Mike Scopa.
Welcome back, Milers. I'm your host, Chris Eliopoulos. I am the illustrator of the Ordinary People Change the World series, and we have a couple new books coming out. I am Ben Franklin, Michelle's favorite, and I am Anne Frank, which will be out in the middle of October. Speaking of people with me, let's welcome back my good friend, Michelle Scribner-McLean. Welcome back, Michelle.
Hello, Christopher. How are you today?
I'm good. I know we skipped a week, but we're back and raring to go.
Does that, right? I don't know. It's amazing for being housebound how busy we can be.
Yeah, I know. It's a Zoom call after Zoom call. And while we're here, we have a returning guest, our good friend, Mike Scopa. Welcome back, Michael.
Hi, Chris. Hi, Michelle. I do not have an attraction quote.
But we sort of corralled Mike at the last minute and said, please come on.
Yeah.
He's under the weather. So we didn't give him any time to prepare.
No, it's fine. But actually, it's probably best that we don't take it too lightly today, because we're going to talk about Disney's recent announcement that they laid off 28,000 people, employees from the Disney Corporation. And while I've been keeping up on it a little bit, I'm sure Michelle has been as well. I think Mike has been more on top of it. So we're really lucky to have Mike back to talk about it. Mike, I wasn't fully aware. So where are these 28,000 people coming from? Is it because of the Disneyland closing? Is it also Disney World? Is it corporate? What's the deal?
Well, a lot of people may not realize this, Chris, but a few years ago, I believe they consolidated both Walt Disney World and Disneyland's financial books, so that instead of having two separate profit centers, I believe that they've got like one big mess. And so one actually impacts the other. And I think that's why the Josh Amaro kind of, they have not opened. So Walt Disney World's been trying to support, both by the end of September is impacting Disney, as well as we're seeing airlines layoffs and things like that. So what's going on is that Disney is being very careful regarding which groups are being impacted and which groups are getting pink slips. So they're being very careful. They obviously want to make sure that the base and the foundation employment groups are being held onto as much as possible. But what we're seeing is that we're seeing groups like, and I'm sure some people have heard of this, the Grand Floridian Orchestra has been laid off. The Spirit of Aloha performers have been laid off. There have been about 20 or 30 DVC people have been laid off, including those who work in Celebration. We're also seeing, I got information this morning that one of my earlier Run Disney contacts has been laid off, one of the managers, one of the higher up managers. Also, I heard yesterday that and this is a little upsetting because it sounds like there's more to come. Some people may know that there is a special hotel that was being constructed to go up against that portion of the Disney Hollywood Studios theme park that deals with Galaxy's Edge. It was some type of a real futuristic space hotel, and some of the opening teams have been relieved of their duties. So that could mean that there will be some delays in some openings over the next 12 months. I think that we should be expecting some type of announcements over the next 3 to 6 months regarding what things may be impacted by the virus and by these layoffs. So it's happening all over in different pockets. And it's really upsetting because a lot of these people, Chris, have been around for years. So even the legacy employees are being impacted by this. And I've been trying to find out if there has been any type of thinking going on regarding the next 3 to 6 months or the next two quarters as far as projections go, because I know that what Disney likes to do is they like to look ahead, and they are usually driven by future projections regarding reservations, bookings, how the hotels are doing. So I think what this indicates is that they do not see a pleasant next 6 months. But that's basically what I've been hearing. I feel like I'm reporting like they're reporting on President Trump.
No, that's it. I mean, you know, this is the thing. This is affecting a lot of lives. Michelle?
So, Mike, it sounds like you've been saving up a lot to tell us. I was wondering, you had mentioned that the space hotel or the Star Wars hotel that planning team was, or portions of the planning team had been let go. And I was wondering what your thoughts were about, you know, some of the development or upkeep of Disney. Do you think that that's going to, you know, push everything off for an indefinite amount of time while they sort of slow the bleeding across the company?
So Michelle, what I'm thinking and knowing how they kind of approach this stuff, my thinking is that they are trying to position themselves so that when the time comes that they can sort of open to a full process, that they will have those people in place that can do that. I don't think that they would touch those areas that deal with the basic running of especially the theme parks. For instance, and I don't have any valid information on this, but this is just my personal thought. I don't think that they're going to touch any of the cast members who deal with the animals for the Disney's Animal Kingdom. I think that the animals need to be attended to on a 24/7 basis, and I think that will not be touched. And the reason why I bring that up is because that's a prime example of what I mean by keeping the essential people there. I think that what we're seeing is you know, the entertainers from the Grand Floridian and from Polynesian with the Spirit of Aloha, and then the Space Hotel. And when you think about those three, Walt Disney World can operate without those three for a while, especially when you look at the Space Hotel, which is not open yet. However, the those factions that are in place, they need to be able, you need to turn on a dime as soon as the virus allows them to reopen. So I think that we won't see those basic employees being touched as much as people think. One thing to keep in mind, the 28,000 employees that were mentioned in the report earlier this week, something like 18,000 of those are part-timers. There's only about 10,000 that are really full-time employees that are going to be impacted. And I'm sure, again, that they're being very careful and making sure that those who are impacted do not impact them turning around real quickly and opening up resort comes back to normalcy. Now, the other thing, this kind of is a flag that tells me that we won't expect the capacity to be elevated in any of the theme parks. I think they're all operating at around maybe 10,000 right now. And obviously, with a workforce that's been reduced, that capacity will not be expected to go up. So I think that the announcement this week sends up so many flags, and we're just going to have to wait to see what areas Disney feels through their announcements over the next several weeks and several months, which announcements tell us how they see what's going to happen. Maybe by next April, maybe by next May and June. So I personally think that Walt Disney World is going to be on hold for the next 6 months. I really do.
So,
too much
Mike,
information?
You made a great point about Animal Kingdom. Not to go off on this tangent, but I do want to make a plug for that wonderful show called The Magic of Animal Kingdom that started this week. And in that, you'll see the number of people and the type of care that those animals have to receive is just amazing. So they could absolutely not lay off those people. They'd have to be on a skeleton crew. But I had another question for you, which is, so in 6 months, do you think they'll be bringing people back? Like if we were lucky enough to have this behind us in 6 months, are they going to reach out to those people? I'm just wondering what you envision as the reopening I don't think it'll ever be the way it was, but how do you see it unfolding? Are they going to bring some of these people back?
So Michelle, I look at October 1st as a real key date and a driver towards answering that question, I think that one of the thought processes that may be going on in the back rooms down in Orlando is that they need to try to focus on getting whatever they need to get done to start celebrating the 50th anniversary on October 1st, 2021. Now, that is a very optimistic view, but I think you have to have that view. And I think that by doing the layoffs, and the layoffs are really strange because they're all over the place. I heard that 411 Imagineering cast members in California were laid off this week. They laid off 279 Disney Vacation Club employees this week. Now, when you look at that, the Disney Vacation Club impact may not have anything to do with the celebration of the anniversary. So you're seeing that kind of stuff. And I think what's going to happen is that a lot of effort will be funneled towards doing those projects, which they have been very, very much promoting regarding the 50th anniversary. So I don't think that that's going to be impact. I think that's going to be the priority. As far as opening up the parks, I think that we're looking at hopefully May, June, and July. Does that answer your question, or did I go off track?
No, it was good. I got to think that they're thinking forward to the anniversary. It's not exactly the way they wanted it to go down, and I agree. I think Michelle had a point. I think I don't know what their plan is. I think they're going to dismiss these people and know that they're going to be able to come back in 6 months to a year when things start to build up again. I also saw, Mike, I don't know if this is true or not, but I saw that beyond the layoffs, they also reinstated all the executives' salaries. Is that true?
I saw that, and I don't know. I don't know why you would do that, number one. Number two, and I don't know why you would publicize that on the same day or couple of days after you announced that you are going to give a pink slip to 28,000 employees. It left a very, very sour taste in my mouth. I'll be the first to say that. And I don't know why they do that. If you are reinstating or giving bonuses out, it's for doing a good job. And I would hope that most executives would say, look, if I have a job, I'm very fortunate. And I'm grateful that I have a job, but don't give me a bonus because these people who work very hard, they're left out in the cold. So I had a very sour taste about it, and I kind of just don't understand.
They did pay people's health insurance, though. I mean, I agree with you, but I think that they did support them that way. And, you know, they wanted to bring people back. They were working with the unions to do it, but it is sort of a slap in the face, I think, for people. It's not a morale booster.
Yeah. I mean, years ago, Marvel went through something, you know, they basically had to, a lot of, again, and Mike, maybe we should start to move into this thing because it's something you and I, or we all kind of talked about offline a little bit, but the back in the day, this is like early 90s or mid 90s, Marvel was bleeding money. They were going bankrupt and they had gone public. And they would hire, like they had one point had hired like this vice president from Hollywood, and they, you know, they flew him in, they had him look at apartments, they paid for his new house in New York. He worked there for like 6 months and like it didn't work out, and he got like $1 million buyout. And then soon after, when the numbers come in at the end of the year, the shareholders were losing money, and the company was losing money. So instead of looking at those executives that make $500,000 a year and maybe cutting one or two of those, they would nitpick around the company and get rid of those people that were making $25,000 a year and firing them. And you're like, well, you know, you could have kept all those people on and got rid of one guy. Why didn't you do that? And I think that's the corporate mentality, which is the executives are the ones that are so important that run the company, and it's the people who make the magic who are replaceable, at least in some minds. But I don't know, Mike. Do you feel this is a symbolic of the way the Disney company is going, that's more concerned about its shareholders than it is about the cast members and the guests?
You know, Chris, a long time ago, I remember having a conversation with Michelle and a few friends, the Disney inner, sort of the Disney internet inner circle. And I said, a lot of people used to complain about Michael Eisner, and especially the cast members. Someday I'll tell you some stories. But But Michael Eisner was always concerned about creativity. He had what was called the Disney decade, and I don't think that he was concerned that much about the shareholders as much as he was about moving the company forward and doing a lot of creativity things. And I think he felt that if that was a successful effort, then the shareholders would be happy. So I always think of him as being an innovator. I always thought of Michael Eisner as being an architect. When you talk about Bob Iger, it's a different story. He acquired things. He talked with George Lucas. He talked with Jim, what's his name? Yeah, regarding some things. So I think that he was more concerned with Wall Street than Michael Eisner. So I think that it's a commentary, yes, that the higher echelon is more concerned with the shareholders than the customers, than those people who are actually bringing in money. I think that one of the things that I really have been sensitive to during this coronavirus pandemic atmosphere that we're in is that when Walt Disney World opened, we heard about the reduced hours. We heard about the elimination of nighttime gatherings with fireworks and parades and things like that. But we also heard that they weren't lowering prices. And that was another flag that told me that, you know, as much as they like to say we're doing this for the guests, the bottom line is that they don't want to upset the shareholders, and it's just a shame. I think that a lot of people are feeling the same way, and it's too bad, because the phrase that we've always heard, "What would Walt think," is always going to be at the front of our minds. And when Walt Disney and Roy Disney were doing their thing, Walt wanted to be on the creative end, and he let Roy take care of the financial business, because I think Walt didn't want that financial business to get involved or to interrupt his creativity. So it all comes back to what would Walt think. And I'm not sure that he would, you know, if you talk to Walt Disney today, I would love to say, well, how do you feel about grabbing, dealing with George Lucas, dealing with a Cameron, dealing with this one and that one, instead of being general? I mean, the difference between Walt Disney World and Universal Studios in Orlando is that there's a legacy foundation that the Walt Disney Company has built, and they can call on that legacy to do things. But I see that changing. Mm-hmm. Wall Street, I'm sure, has played a big part in that.
All right. And so, Michelle, as we go through all this depressing news and figuring it out, I'm going to ask both of you guys, but Michelle first, is there a way back to the magic after this? Like, you know, obviously the concern is for these people who lost their jobs. And I want to stress that, you know, that's the important part, is that there are people now who are going to be without work and health.
Well, they are part of the magic, right? Part of the magic.
Yeah. I was going to say, most of them, you know, and a lot of them, you know, maybe it is just a job, and this, you know, and they aren't fully aware of how much joy they bring, but I think a lot do. And, you know, do you feel like we're going to come back to a point where it's that magic's going to come back, and we're going to feel that the Disney magic is still,
you know,
there?
It's interesting. I used to, for many years, I worked in a museum, and one of the things I learned about museum people is they are not there for the money. They're there because they love and believe in museums, right? So I really feel that way about a lot of cast members. They're there because they have a job that they love, even if it means they have to cut out other things. I was looking at a cast member who posted something, somebody from Disneyland who had been employed at Disneyland since 1981 and was laid off. I mean, it's just a gut punch. I don't even know this person, but the commitment and to a company, I think, is really hard. I wanted to say that last night we were watching, just needed a Disney fix, and we decided, texted you, we decided to watch Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party Parade, and ended up watching it three times. and you know, Mike was saying to me yesterday, it's not even about the attractions. I don't want to speak for him, but it's about the atmosphere. And I think there is a way back. I mean, we all want there to be a way back. I think that it may be a little different, but I'm just a rule follower. I just hope people follow the rules so that we can all get back. We can all, you know, do the things that we like to do. I just can't wait till I can walk down Main Street USA again and hear that music and smell that popcorn and look at the castle. But until then, watching those videos just, you know, kind of redoubled my efforts of hand washing and wearing my mask here in New Hampshire, because I think we all have to do our part.
So Mike, you know, like, are you going to be able to walk down that Main Street and not have a feeling of melancholy? Like, I hope they decide to bring people back when we get the vaccine and people are in better shape and the company gets up and running again. But are you going to feel a little melancholy walking down Main Street?
I want to talk a little bit about the magic. I've been very fortunate, very lucky, very blessed to have have established a lot of relationships with a lot of friends of mine who have worked down there for 10, 15, 20 years. And I think I hopefully have mentioned that. I think that the magic flows through them. I think that they are the conduit to Walt Disney. I think that they, those dedicated cast members who want to do whatever they can to see a small child's face light up and help us forget our worries, I think that they are a huge part of the magic. And I think I mentioned one incident on this show, and I think, Michelle, you were there with another friend of ours, and one of my friends who was an ambassador, the Magic Kingdom. Those people have been laid off too, by the way. She brought us over to where the Crystal Palace, Tony's is.
Tony's.
There was the Walt Disney story. And she said, I want you to, you know, someone here wants to meet you. And, you know, I just said, okay, you know, we went there. And Michelle, you remember what happened? She pulled back the curtain and there was Cinderella. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she knew that would make us smile. She didn't have to do that, but, you know, that brought a little magic to us. And, you know, we suspended our disbelief for a while. And I, you know, that was just one example of a cast member doing something nice for someone. And I'm sure that there are many, many instances like that. I think the Year of a Million Dreams was a huge success. And I think that they should do that when the resort opens. There should be some type of a promotion that brings back the magic. But I think, Chris, that the magic flows through them to us and walking up Main Street. Yeah, I think that is something that would help. I want to echo what Michelle said. It's no longer the attractions. It's the atmosphere. It's walking through. I love walking through Epcot. I don't care about being on this attraction, that attraction, as much as I care about trying to escape from the everyday stress and
yeah,
craziness.
It's like we need it more. We need it even more.
Yeah, yeah. And so I think that it will come back. I think it's not going to be a switch. I don't think it'll be boom, boom. I think it's going to be a gradual recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when that happens, I don't think any of us are going to take it for granted anymore. And I think that those of us who have been down on our last trip, I know that Michelle feels the same way as me, that, you know, the last trip that we took, maybe we didn't appreciate it as much as we should have.
Yeah, I think that'll be the thing is you'll maybe appreciate the cast members a little bit more. I know we've talked in the past about how guests sometimes treat cast members when they don't get what they want and they, you know, push them and not physically, but, you know, become difficult. And I hope if nothing else, this teaches us all a little bit of a lesson that these people are trying to do the best they can do and they're human and we should appreciate the magic they provide for us. Right. I mean, like you said, like there are so many cast members that I have seen regularly on my trips who I look forward to seeing. Like, I'm not looking forward to, you know, I'm not looking forward to go on, you know, the Seas with Nemo. I'm looking forward to seeing the faces that are familiar to me and saying hi and catching up and seeing how their lives are going. And like, the one that really hits me is it's so dumb, but it's the bartender at the Cruise Cup, Diana, who just always just gave us a wonderful warm feeling of being home, which is what they always say when you walk into the hotels, welcome home. But it's that person who, you know, at the bar who is like, hey, I came up with this new drink, try this. You know, or have you seen this, what they're doing over here, or the walkway is getting built, and they truly care and they seem to really care. So yeah, I think that's the stuff that we're going to miss for a while. And, you know, what do you think this is going to improve, like, for the celebration? What is it, the 50th?
Well, yeah, I think that one of the things that has popped up regarding this is that I believe they're doing a lot more there besides pulling back and laying off people. And I think they're doing a lot more extra things than they had planned to do because they have the opportunity. And they know that people won't be that many guests. For instance, I just found out that the Liberty Square Riverboat in Tom Sawyer Island was being closed to do some refurbishment. I don't know if that was in the plans, but I'm seeing little things happening that probably would not have happened if they were fully open, because they would have inconvenienced the guests. So I think that there are some extra things that are happening now that when Walt Disney World reopens, I'm convinced that when we all get a chance to go back for that first visit, there's going to be a lot of changes, especially in Epcot, especially the front of the all four parks, the areas. I think that there's going to be a whole bunch of changes. So in that regard, it gives them a chance to do stuff. One of the things I wanted to mention, getting back to cast members, is that, Michelle, you remember this. A long time ago, we went to Walt Disney World, and one of the cast members who I really appreciate is Lonnie, who works at the American Adventure Pavilion. I believe he's been working there since it opened in October of 1982. He tell you all about history and everything, and he always used to say to me, you gotta remember that this resort was built by movie people, and so they want it to be like a movie experience. And he took Michelle's son Liam into his office, and he said, there's a phone call for you. Liam picked it up, and it was Goofy asking Liam if he had a good time and everything. Now Lonnie didn't have to do that, but, and I'm sure he does it with a lot of people, but that's another example of a cast member trying to give some type of a magical experience to a guest. And those are the people who I feel really sorry for. I don't know if he's going to keep his job. There's a whole bunch of people. I think that when we go back, we're going to be looking for those cast members. I know that I am. As I return, whenever I get a chance to return, I'm going to be looking to see if so-and-so still here.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? It's going to be like, because the hard part is, you know these people through meeting them, but you don't really know them. You don't have their numbers for most, I don't know these people in the real world, but I would like to know where they are and how they're doing and that kind of stuff. So,
and we're just a small sample. I mean, I'm sure they have hundreds and hundreds of people who they treat like this.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You're right, Michelle. I've seen, I remember waiting in line for some attraction, and there was a family who had a young child who had just missed out on something somewhere that someone has been given out anything. So the cast member who was running, one of the welcoming cast members, I think they call welcomers or greeters at this particular attraction. I think it was the Mickey Mouse Review back in the 70s or whatever. That cast member had gone out of her way, and she went somewhere and she came back with whatever item that had been given out, and she handed it to the little girl. And I thought
they just make everybody feel like they're special. They're the one who's special for the moment.
And we know they don't make a lot of money. We know that they have to have a joy. And I always think that when we see young cast members who go out of their way to do things like that, they remember when they were young, when they were they might have been a child that had been on the receiving end of a really nice gesture, and they are trying to do the same. And I think that those are very rare individuals, because I'll be honest, not every cast member is really filled with magic. But to those who are, I mean, we need to treat them well. And I always try to do whatever I can to remember when a cast member does something well for me, and I let them know. I let their supervisors know, or I write to guest services and say, so-and-so on this day at this time did this for me, and I just want to compliment them, because it's very important to compliment the cast members. It's not good to just complain. I think you need to let guest services know which cast members do practice magic, and when they do practice magic, that makes it easier for us to say, we're going to go back.
Perfect ending. I think that'll put a button on this episode. Yes, our hearts and thoughts go out to all the cast members who are currently now out of work. We hope you find something soon and land on your feet, or we'll be thinking of you. And if you can, check in and let us know how you're doing. So on that note, I will thank Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa for coming on today. And I'm Chris Liopoulos. We will see you on the road.
We hope you enjoyed listening to today's episode of the Mickey Miles and More podcast. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles and More podcast, this is Rick Gregg saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.